Hello and welcome to PSG Review, the show lamenting on the what could have beens of the transfer window. Despite a lot of drama, very little action in the end after some higher hopes, also known as the show trying to walk off our interest, a bit like PSG in Montpellier. My name is Mikko, great to have you listening, and today we have a quick one analyzing the transfers, the ifs and buts, but we also talk about Montpellier, of course, and women's mercato, which I'm happy to say wasn't half bad. But first, what happened, what went wrong, and did we manage to, at the very least, dodge some bullets during this January's mercato? For a transfer window that is open for 1 month, it seems that the last night of the deadline days really where all the action is, and that is more or less the experience we had this time around as well. For PSG, the goals were, and this varied a bit based on the source and the day, but Sarabia was to be sold, and he successfully was. Then, despite our defensive challenges, it was insisted that we need to only hire or certainly prioritize an attacking player for the right side where Sarabia had been. There were talks about Ryan Cherki from the Olympique Lyonnais. I'm okay he didn't come, I have to be honest. Malcolm from Zenit, I think it was better not to hire him, all things considered, also. Then there was mention of young Johan Bakayoko from PSV, but that fell through. Marco Asensio was mentioned towards the end, not for very long time, but nothing really happened with that file either. But Chelsea's Hakim Ziyech was the lead, actually, to follow. He was already reportedly in Paris, having gone through the physicals, the medical tests and all that. He had done everything, so it was all good to go. People were quite excited for something to happen, and I guess the question was, what are the terms? What are the final terms? Loan deal, but with or without an option to buy, or I imagine other details. And finally, it seemed that there was an answer. Half a season without an option to buy, but then Chelsea, who had been quite the busy beast during this window, of course, managed to mess it up repeatedly. Three times, it was said, according to the press, sending the wrong documentation, so unsigned copies, things like this, and then the time ran out, despite, reportedly, Ziyech himself pleading his case via text to the Chelsea hierarchy all the way to the new owner. Was it vindictive or incompetent? Basically, as so often, the question is, are you a bad person or are you bad at your job? Well, either way, it went like this, and PSG promised to complain about this to LFP and ask for some leniency, but no one was very surprised when LFP didn't show any compassion, which I also get. I mean, it wasn't exactly their battle, but on balance, yes, Chelsea was busy and they had many irons in the fire, that is clear. But you'd imagine they were aware that this would be the case and therefore could have made some plans for that night. Reportedly, PSG initially had said that may Chelsea never again darken the doorsteps of La Factory. Perhaps that was somewhat modified later from never to let's not trust these people 100% in the future, let's be on a lookout. But if I may suggest for the club, you know, let's enact this promise on women's side, because Chelsea women are like vultures around PSG feminine, leaking rumors about our best players there. So let's agree on never selling anyone to them on that side. Soon more about the women's team transfers, but back to Hakim Ziyech. Now for me. This isn't really a train smash. In all brutal honesty, I'm sure he's a good player, but we have our front three, even with the Mbappe injury. Of course, we're going to talk about that a little bit later, but I think Sarabia, and after all, it was him who needed to be replaced. Sarabia's job can be taken over by Soler, who I would rather have higher up on the pitch if needed, rather than in the midfield. I mean, I'm not massively happy with his efforts and levels currently, but be that as it may, it's better than Sarabia, I feel. Ismail Garbi, of course, had a similar last-minute change of plans. He was supposed to go to Nice, but this deal too had some admin issues that weren't handled in time. So he stays, and I don't mind him having opportunities where our front three is unable to play or perform. And we also have Ekitike, Hugo Ekitike. So personally, I never saw an attacking player as a priority, in my opinion, even if the team would have felt that way. So I'm not massively disappointed about this thing at all. What is, of course, more of a problem to the team is the defense, which has been a desperate need of something. And that something was deemed to be Milan Skriniar from Inter, free agent come summer, so he was already able to sign a contract with us and he had done that. But a question remained, how much should PSG have to pay to get his services right away and enjoy them for the remainder of this season? And this is where PSG and Inter had quite different views, actually. Inter didn't want to negotiate down from 20 million initially. Then possibly they did. We don't know. We're not quite sure, reportedly, perhaps. But they were unable to find replacement anyway. So now we know that Milan Skriniar will be a PSG player, but only next summer onwards. It was another thing on the late shift agenda on the deadline day. So no immediate solution was found for the defensive issues. Apparently, PSG had no financial fair play money left, and in the end, it was a question that does Inter want something from one of their top players, or do they hold on to him for a few more months and then let him go for free when there's no chance for renewal? It was already understood that Skriniar had signed with us, so Inter was under no illusion that he would, or indeed could, change his mind anymore. But they did hold on to him, which is perfectly, of course, within their rights, of course, and no complaint can really be made out of it. And if PSG had or were able to stack more cash on the desk, well, then we would enter this spring with some reinforcement, but that was not meant to be. And that means that our current defense needs to start building a case why they should be part of our future plans. The spring is an audition for Marquinhos, Kimpembe and Ramos, who are all negotiating or at least thinking about extensions. Marquinhos is the closest to sign and Ramos might be the least developed file, but now they know that Skriniar is definitely coming, so they need to use the next couple of months to convince PSG or alternatively some other club that they are worth a lot of money and a spot in the starting 11. Our young academy player Eamon Carrie went to Lorient. There is a priority buyback option there, kind of like with Xavi Simons, whose clause is only valid next summer, by the way. So that's something that we are on a lookout when the months are moving towards the summertime and the next transfer window, of course, the previous only just now closed. So let's not go quite that far yet, but it is something there in the back of our minds, I'm sure. Keylor Navas, we say muchas gracias, Keylor. What a player, what a man, and how much has he given us? Immense and eternal gratitude to him, and good luck in Nottingham Forest. It's a loan deal, so he will be back next summer. Who knows how life looks then, but this feels like the end. We will see how it unravels. Of course, we would love to have him in the team, even as a backup, but he's on a very high salary, and the project is to cut down wage bills from players who aren't absolutely central to the project, as a backup keeper wouldn't be, and those players take quite a bit of cash away from the prospective deals, so it is something that needs to be thought about. And it's also understandable, Keylor Navas is not getting any younger. Well, nobody's getting any younger, that's just the way that life works, but he's not getting any younger. He knows that his career is a finite one, and he wants to play still. So he has to use the years, the seasons that he has left to the best he sees fit. But what a player he has been for us, a great servant to the club. And I think that his presence has really raised PSG. This new project that we are dealing with, that we've been dealing with, you know, for a decade, over a decade, I would say that he has really been a key character in that story when we've been reaching our highest of the highs. And I've been talking about that in the earlier episodes, so you can go back to those if you've missed that. But let it be said on the record that I have a lot of love, a lot of appreciation and respect for Keylor Navas. And then the last bit of business for this window relates to actually that wage bill that I was talking about earlier that we should cut down. Ander Herrera is no longer a PSG player, which undoubtedly is a positive development for all, including him, including PSG and everybody else. Next summer, we can scratch him off our list of players that need to be sold or loaned out or some solution needs to be found and getting them their salaries out of their wage bills. Perhaps, like I said, Navas could also be a person who is of interest to some clubs, and we have to see how it's going to go in the Premier League, how is it going to go in England, and is there going to be some leads from there, or is perhaps does he want to go to Saudi Arabia, where I'm sure they would welcome him with open arms. Then on top of them, Mauro Icardi seems to possibly move on also. He's actually been playing very well in Turkey, which is a great thing to see. You might not remember this, but he really started quite well for PSG as well, and he was really an integral part of our attack and actually kind of if we're being quite honest about it, his arrival was really like the last nail in the coffin of Edinson Cavani's career in PSG, and he, after all, is the top scorer still of PSG. So Icardi came into PSG also with a lot of promise and with good displays in the beginning, but then it kind of fizzled out, and now he's having the same kind of new spring in Turkey, in Galatasaray. So good for him, and that of course will benefit PSG greatly if he is sold next summer. So we are really hoping for that. Well, I'm certainly hoping for that, but of course we will perhaps be crouchingly welcome back Kurzawa, Paredes, Draxler and Wijnaldum, and on top of these, probably now we're also trying to sell Juan Bernat. I would imagine he's quite expensive for what he's able to give, so perhaps this team will require full attention of Luis Campos, and then getting one player like Ander Herrera off of that to-do list, list of things to get done and get sorted, the players to whom we need to find better solutions, to get one player out of that is going to free time for other business during next summer. The window, it was disappointing compared to the hype and raised expectations, but few silver linings there, I feel. What I mean about the hype and raised expectations also, well, for instance, I'm not sure if anyone would have desperately called for Ziyech or any attacking player for these couple of months before the summer, as huge and decisive as they are, undoubtedly, but I'm not sure if Sarabia's departure was felt among the supporters as something that need to be patched up as soon as now. I mean, I can really only speak for myself, but he seemed like one of those players that freeing their wages was reasonable result enough, certainly to me. What we don't have full clarity on, as we never do, is how exactly do the finances of this club look like. I don't know how much financial fair play aligned funds there are in the coffers. Chelsea is seen as an example to get around those regulations, and I'm not specialist in this. I'm not getting into it in any kind of detail, but the little bit that I've looked into it, the model they seem to utilize is not so much of a loophole. People talking about it as a loophole. I don't know if it's a loophole as such. It's kind of huge risk for the future, and we may see them paying an incredible price of this strategy in the future. I would not have wanted us to take those risks anyway, but my point is, since we don't know what is possible financially speaking, we don't necessarily understand the nuances and variables of all the factors in this particular thing, it's easy for us to shout incompetence, things like that. And perhaps there sometimes is a lot of incompetence at play as well, but at the same time, it's more complex than what meets the eye. And that's why I tend to be a little bit careful when I talk about money, because I don't have the codes to their online banking to see what's their waiting and what are the monthly outgoings. From what I gather, PSG is never far from the FFP limits, and also there's always, it certainly seems so, some plan for big business down the line. Perhaps in the summer there is a lead that they will follow that will explain the frugality of now. But the window is closed, and it's time for Christophe Galtier to find a way to organize the players we actually do have on the pitch and create an environment where magic may happen. It's a tall order, but that is what we paid these people for. Wednesday evening, Ligue 1 match day 21 of this 22-23 campaign. We start to be comfortably on the second half of the season, and our Parisians travel to Montpellier, to the southern coast of France. The local side was before this match 15th on the Ligue 1 table. Some absentees, Marco Verratti of course with his red card, and Neymar had been having some health issues, non-specified ones, that kept him home for the night. Presnel Kimpembe still out as well, of course, is Nordi Mukiele. In goal, Gigio Donnarumma, and it was 4-4-2 with Nuno Mendes, Marquinhos, Sergio Ramos and Achraf Hakimi in defense. Midfield with Danilo, Vitinha, Fabian Ruiz and Carlos Soler, and front two, no points for guessing, Messi and Pape. I was really hoping for a line in the sand, a good solid match by our PSG, a coherent display after all the difficulties and uncertainties of January. I was really hoped that this would be the night. But that was not meant to be. I wish I could be a bearer of better news from the first minutes, much like against Reims. PSG was making silly, even bizarre mistakes that made us look like an amateur side several levels lower with millions upon millions fewer euros in our pocket. after some minutes, there was a penalty shot awarded to PSG after Ramos was brought down in the box. Mbappe was shooting and he had pretty good shot, but Montpellier's Lecomte saved it. It was an excellent save, to be honest. Really great, but the slow motion replay showed that he had taken steps from his line before Mbappe connected with the ball, so the penalty was to be reshot. That one also unsuccessful for Mbappe, so two missed penalties in quick succession. Well, I think that the first one would have probably gone in if Lecomte would have been playing by the rules, but nothing but a mild embarrassment to show for all this trouble that, and few headlines, although those headlines were soon rewritten. There was somewhat cynical knee tackle from behind by Montpellier's Leo Leroy, who took Mbappe down. He could continue briefly, Mbappe could continue, but then he had to come off and Ekitike came in. Not a great time for injury, as we are less than 2 weeks away from Champions League. We are talking about this injury soon in more detail. Ramos had had a head collision earlier and he was showing that he had some issues too, so he came off and Danilo reversed from the midfield to centre-back position and Renato Sanchez came into midfield. Then Messi scored a goal, nice goal, but it was an offside. Eish. This was pretty awful first half. Much like in the previous match against Reims, Montpellier had absolutely nothing to show for their first half but a clean sheet. It was a very frustrating period in PSG season. No one can argue against that, I don't think. And it has to be said that one of the reasons why it was particularly frustrating is that Montpellier really genuinely had nothing to give in this match, especially early on, other than their five-man defense and Benjamin Lecomte in goal. Second half started and it has to be said that Galtier is under a lot of scrutiny, which was always to be expected, but he has been able to change things in the half time. Maybe it wasn't showing in the very first minutes of the half time, but quite soon it started bearing some results, and after some minutes of the second half, the ball falls on Hakimi's foot and he scored absolutely a wonderful goal. Really, really wonderful goal, but as Murphy would have it, there had been an offside leading up to it. Finally, Fabian Ruiz scores the first goal that actually stands after 55 minutes of play. Ekitike with an assist and a second goal. Again, Ruiz's involvement, as this time he gave an absolutely wonderful assist to Messi, who put the ball in. 0-2 for us, the visitors, in this match. I was watching the rerun of the Ruiz assist and I'm still a little bit unsure what he did and how. It was really great and pretty cathartic moment, I feel, also in this match. And Montpellier, of course, they had to open up a little bit and give it a go because they had nothing to lose but a defeat. So the nature of the game was changing a little bit. Then Warren Zaire-Emery came in for Vitinha and he had a good run. I like the fact that he was brought on and that he seemed unbothered by the lapse in focus he had Sunday, which did cost us some points. Well, arguably not only in it in itself. Of course, there were other things that did cost that point, but nevertheless, it was one of those key factors in the equalizer that Reims got on a weekend, so it was nice to see Zaire-Emery back in action and, quite, like I said, unbothered by all of these things that had happened a few days earlier. Sanchez was also solid, giving the structure to our midfield, which worked pretty well in the absence of Verratti and Neymar, who do usually so much work bringing the ball up the pitch. So it's really great to see Sanchez being successful in that. But as so often, life of a PSG supporter isn't as easy and nice as people tend to think it is. 90 minutes fast approaching, Montpellier was giving it their all. So what does Juan Bernat do? What does he do? Well, he has come in for Nuno Mendes, who isn't back yet to his level, but Bernat decides to give a blind backheel pass towards our own goal in a dangerous area, and no surprise to anybody, he only finds a Montpellier player. Steffi Mavididi assists Arnaud Nudan, who curls the ball in the goal behind Gigio Donnarumma. Regulation time is running out, only extra minutes left to play, but now Montpellier comes to striking distance. If they score one more goal, it's a repeat of the Reims match, which we cannot afford. A lot of pressure and Montpellier tried their hardest, but it was one misplaced pass by them. Warren Zaire-Emery takes it, plays give and go with Messi and makes history by becoming the youngest goal scorer for PSG, 1-3, and that is the final result. In a post-match interview, Warren Zaire-Emery noted that he had seen Messi also there in a position, but he knew his position was better to score, so he went for it. This is noteworthy. I mean, can you believe it? Our youngest player is the one who has the guts to not waste his own good opportunity only to desperately pass the ball to the general direction of the superstar. It's impressive and something that other players can learn from. I would go as far as argue that PSG could have scored, 5 to 10 more goals this season if players took their own chances instead of always passing, just because of some assumed hierarchy of scoring goals. Warren Saint-Emery made our midfield situation in general quite interesting as things stand. We've been having many issues of the midfield, and in the absence of Verratti, we don't really even know what is the general idea of it all. It seems quite vague at best. But Saint-Emery, yeah, he put his name in the hat for sure. Like I said, he had had his issue against Reims, even if momentarily, but it was a lapse in concentration that did cost us for the equalizer. But this is no ordinary 16-year-old we are talking about here, as he showed his quality again against Montpellier. If Ramos is sidelined, Danilo might drop to play as a centre-back, which to me is a positive, even if within an unfortunate context. Of course, we don't want Ramos to be injured, but I would rather still have Danilo as a centre-back rather than to see Ramos there. Of course, we can't rule out the fact that Ramos is that player that I've been talking about, that he has this Champions League mentality. So now that we are approaching these important Champions League matches, it's a kind of a card good to have in your back pocket, because yeah, it might be a time when we need that kind of player who is just going to do some unimaginable thing when it absolutely counts the most. So we kind of put that to the side. We put that on hold, kind of like note to self type of thing. Renato Sanchez had a good match. I mentioned that already. And Ruiz, of course, with a goal and assist, so you can't knock that. Soler, not so great. But Vitinha was all sorts of solid, so we will see what formation is in the future, especially in our midfield. It will be interesting to see how this develops. And we know Marco Verratti is healthy. He is available. He just needs to do this time that he has with this suspension, and after that he is going to be in our use. So the midfield is looking interesting with some options at least. The second half of the match was definitely better again, which is giving us some hope. But what is alarming, and now we get into this, is of course Mbappe's injury. Ramos as well, of course. The early messages were positive in the post-match interview. Caltier said that he doesn't think those injuries with Mbappe and Ramos are anything too bad. But right now, as I'm recording, the club has released medical information noting that there is an issue with Mbappe's muscle in his leg, and that he's out in recovery for 3 weeks, which, and of course it would, rules him out against Bayern in the first match of the round of 16 Champions League knockouts. The second match in Bavaria is on the 8th of March, and from the moment of this news, that is almost 5 weeks away, so if all goes well, he should be there. But what a tradition this has become. Reckless, unnecessary and cynical pre-Champions League tackles by Ligue 1 players against our stars are something we know too well. Every season, pretty much without a fail, we have experienced them and we've had to live with them. And this is one of those things. With death, that is the only other thing that we can count on. Well, I guess this will give then Messi and Neymar, who we hope are fit and ready, an impetus to show that they aren't entirely outshone by the prodigy of Bondi. But back to Montpellier, an important victory even if not in the most stylish fashion. Lens lost to Nice, but Marseille won, which means that as things stand, PSG is 5 points ahead our rivals from the south, and the next match is against Toulouse at Parc, then Marseille in Coupe de France. This February is relentless, it was always going to be, and now in the reported absence of Mbappe, unless the estimation of his recovery changes dramatically, it has just become even more hectic. PSG women haven't been playing since the last episode I recorded, but what they have done is transfer business. Earlier last month, in January, the Australian veteran keeper Lydia Williams had left after half a season and not very many minutes playing time. Perhaps that signals the imminent return of Bobora Votikova, last season's first keeper. Who knows, and other departures of this January were Estelle Cascarino, who has been a peripheral character at best, and PSG. Benedict Simon, also she left, and Mangwapa Foke, he's a very promising talent, good prospect, but otherwise I would say very good business all in all from the women's team as far as, selling some players. And then the incoming, I've already been talking about our new Danish striker, Amalie Vangsgaard, who's made her debut already in Coupe de France. But on top of her, PSG also hired Alison Swaby. She's a Jamaican international center back and a young, very promising Corbin Albert from the USA. This is quite exciting somehow, and I look forward to seeing how these players are integrated into the squad. I hope we are getting to the other side of these teething problems when it comes to this latest edition of the project that we are currently having. I hope the coach Gerard Brashear gets his marbles in order so that we can play the season with dignity and have good results in the domestic division, on Coupe de France, and even continental in the UEFA Women's Champions League. Otherwise, of course, too early to analyze the new players yet. We will get into that once the matches start taking place. And for women's team, we have Le Havre on Sunday afternoon, and then it is international break. During that break, we will also learn the Champions League quarterfinal opponent, which is going to be one out of the Arsenal, Barcelona or Wolfsburg. Thanks so much for listening. I appreciate it a great deal. Always do, and there are simply so many things that you could be giving your attention to, so it's pretty cool that you have spent this moment with me. Thank you. More PSG review next time, as the February inevitably moves forward. A lot of huge matches in store. My name is Mikko. More next time. Until that, peace.